कथयिष्यामि दिव्या ह्यात्मा विभान्यता पदयन्त कुरु श्रेष्ठा नस्यन्तो विस्तरस्य मे. The Supreme Personality of God had said, yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. Report by Srila Prabhupada. It is not possible to comprehend the greatness of Krishna and his opulences. The senses of the individual soul are limited and do not permit him to understand the totality of Krishna's affairs. Still, the devotees try to understand Krishna, but not on the principle that they will be able to understand Krishna at any specific time or in any state of life. Rather, the very topics of Krishna are so relishable that they appear to the devotees as nectar. Thus, the devotees enjoy them. In discussing Krishna's opulences and his diverse energies, the pure devotees take transcendental pleasure. Therefore, they want to hear and discuss them. Krishna knows that living entities do not understand the extent of his opulences. He therefore agrees to state only the principal manifestations of his different energies. The word pradhanyataha, principal, is very important because we can understand only a few of the principal details of the Supreme Lord, for his features are unlimited. It is not possible to understand them all, and vibhuti is used in this verse, refers to the opulences by which he controls the whole manifestation. In the Amarakosha dictionary, it is stated that vibhuti indicates an exceptional opulence. The impersonalist or pantheist cannot understand the exceptional opulences of the Supreme Lord nor the manifestations of his divine energies. Both in the material world and in the spiritual world, his energies are distributed in every variety of manifestation. Now Krishna is describing what can be directly perceived by the common man. Thus, part of his variegated energy is described in this way. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is revealing the essential truths by which everyone, without discrimination, who is willing to accept them and live by them, can regain their original but lost spiritual consciousness. The more we understand Krishna, the more we become humbled by his unlimited greatness. The more we understand Krishna, the more we realize how much we do not know. When we speak of humility, it is natural. A person who is actually humble, we can understand that they have some realization of God. A person who is proud must not have much realization of God, because Krishna is vibhu. He is unlimited. And the spirit soul is anu. And also our capacity to understand the unlimited is anu, which means infinitesimal, or like an atomic particle. When Arjuna saw the Virat Rupa, the universal form before him, he considered himself utterly insignificant. Krishna's original form is the source of that universal form. Therefore, we find that those great personalities who really know God very deeply, they think very little of their own advancement in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes devotees, when we read songs by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, or the prayers of Srila Prabhupada, it's somewhat bewildering. Why is it bewildering? There's no one translating?
No system.
Huh?
System
doesn't work.
Today morning it doesn't work.
Not even. Must be the eclipse. We can blame everything on the eclipse. How is it they're talking about themselves as the most low, most sinful, the worst persons? It is because, well, for one thing, is they're teaching us how we should think if we want to call out for the mercy of the Lord. And secondly, because they're actually witnessing the unlimited glory of God, of Krishna, naturally they're thinking themselves very unworthy and unqualified. That is just the nature of a Vaishnava. The more we receive mercy, the more we feel unqualified to receive it, because that mercy is so great. It's so deep, like an ocean. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he is explaining to Rupa Goswami the most essential truths of devotional service, the Lord said that this topic of Krishna consciousness is like a vast unlimited ocean. In this world we have our Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Indian Ocean, Arctic Ocean, but these oceans are very limited. They have their boundaries, and it doesn't take very much to sail over it. If you fly from here to New York City crossing the Atlantic Ocean, it only takes about 8 hours. By ship it may take about 3 weeks. But Lord Chaitanya is talking about an unlimited ocean. Krishna consciousness is an unlimited ocean with no boundaries. There's no bottom. And he explains that what I am going to explain to you is just one part of one drop from that ocean. But that single particle of one drop has the capacity to drown this whole universe in love of God. So we can imagine, what is the ocean? Anyway. Similarly, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, when he's describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the unlimited nature of the Lord's pastimes, he says, if Ananta Shesha, with his 1,000 mouths, for the entire span of time of the entire creation, were to sing the glories of Lord's pastimes, he could not complete describing the pastimes the Lord performs in one day. Ananta Shesha is Lord Balaram himself, with his thousand hoods, speaking constantly the entire time of the creation. He cannot enumerate it completely, the pastimes the Lord performs in one day. And Ganesh, who's the scribe of the demigods, you know the story of Ganesh, Ganapati. When Mahabharata was going to be written in Badrigashram, Vyasadeva, he told Ganesh, I will dictate and you write. But if ever, even one time in this narration, if you ask me to repeat what I say, I will stop there. So Ganapati was such a good writer. The Mahabharata is over 100,000 perfectly composed Sanskrit slokas. Probably the largest literature in the history of man. 100,000 slokas. And Ganesh and Vyasadeva didn't rest. He simply, like the wind, he just recited. Have any of you been to Badrigashram? There's one cave called Vyaskup, and a little ways away is Ganeshkup, and Vyas spoke and Ganesh wrote. Well, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, even if Ganapati were to write for the entire span of creation, he could not enumerate the pastimes the Lord performed. What to speak of a day, even in a moment? Vrindavan Das Thakur, when he is explaining Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he's saying there's no end to this Leela. There's no end to what the Lord does in his life, in a year, in a month, in a day, in a minute, in a moment. He said, just like a bird flies into the sky, the bird goes as high as he could possibly go. Similarly, it is our duty to try to explain the glories of the Lord to the capacity of our limit. That is our perfection of life. The perfection of life is just like the bird goes as high as he can go into the sky, but how much does he really travel the sky? Maybe a bird may go at the most 1 mile high, but the sky is millions of miles. If we just, according to our capacity, try to understand and glorify the attributes of the Lord, the names of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, that is the ultimate perfection of our life. But even in that perfection, how much have we really explained? Like a bird, how much could he cover the immense sky? So the Lord's opulences are unlimited. And Krishna is explaining here that I cannot explain them all to you, Arjuna. Nobody can possibly comprehend or bear it. But I'm going to tell you some prominent principles by which understanding, if you can somehow or other keep your mind fixed on me, that will be the perfection of your life. Krishna explains in Gita, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha Arjuna bhavashani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashtana. He says, Arjuna, I know everything that has happened in the past, all things that are happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I know all living beings, but me no one knows in full. No one can know Krishna in full. But if somehow or other, with whatever little capacity we have, if we can just always remember Krishna, if we just remember the name Krishna, we just remember whatever few pastimes we understand. That will be the perfection of our human existence. God is great. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes explain how in religions everyone is saying God is great. Srimad Bhagavatam and other great Vedic literatures is telling how great, how God is great, and how great is God. Krishna, it is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body. And the Lord, who is known as the super soul, is but his localized plenary portion. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth. There is no truth greater than or equal to him. That is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Paramatma, the Super Soul, is within every heart. The Paramatma is in and between every atom. He is an expansion of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is sitting in the, who is laying in the island of Svetadvipa, in the Vaikuntha planet within each universe. He is an expansion of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, from whose navel a lotus comes out. The stem of that lotus contains all the 14 planetary systems. That means every planet within the entire universe. They're divided in 14 systems. And on the top of that lotus, Lord Brahma is born. He's an expansion of Karanodakshaya Vishnu, or Mahavishnu. This Mahavishnu is so maha, he's so big, that when he breathes out, unlimited universe come from the pore of his bodies. No count to the number of universes. How many pores do you have in your body? Can you even estimate? How many? Who would like to guess? Would anyone like to make an approximate guess? 100, 1,000,000? Nobody knows. Now Mahavishnu, how many pores are in his body? He's huge. He's bigger than our universe. Our universe is coming out of one of his pores. So can you imagine how big his body is? Let him go. And when he inhales, everything is destroyed, the entire cosmic manifestation. And this Karanodakshaya Vishnu, he's an expansion of Shankarashan, who was an expansion of the Chaturvyuh, part of the Chaturvyuh, who was an expansion of Narayan, who's ultimately expansion of Balaram, who's an expansion of Krishna. So this little boy Krishna, who is eating the dirt at Brahmandagat in Sri Gokul Mahavan area, and who is very much trying to hide this fact from his mother Yashoda. No, no, I did not eat dirt. This little Krishna, who was weeping and crying when he saw his mother's little stick, when she was about to punish him for stealing butter. This little Krishna, who was playing with his boyfriends in the pasture grounds of Vrindavan, dancing and imitating animals and wrestling and playing and throwing the amalaki fruit like balls in so many games. this little Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. The expansion and the expansion, the expansion, the expansion that he hardly even pays attention to is Mahavishnu. The Paramatma in everyone's heart. The pastimes of Krishna are so deep, so great, so unlimited. And before we can enter into that spontaneous experience of love, first we have to understand how we have really no possible capacity to understand the glories of the Lord. But by His causeless mercy, He reveals to us a tiny little fragment. But that little tiny fragment of a part, of a drop from the ocean of His glories can not only drown our life in ecstatic bliss, but can drown the entire creation. So as devotees, when we become proud, when we think, I am very good, look at what I have done, look at what I know, look at who I am, what do you think that Krishna, watching through our heart, thinks of us? Hare Krishna. Do you think He takes our successes very seriously? What Krishna wants to see, He wants to see how we are willing to submit ourselves before His glory. How we are willing to submit ourselves to please Him, to serve Him. That is the essence of what we should all be striving to achieve, what we should be praying to achieve in our lives. We read in the holy scriptures of Lord Krishna's loving relations with His devotees, and how sometimes His devotees, they want to show the world who is this Krishna. Arjuna begged Krishna, please show the universal form. For Arjuna there was no need to see the universal form. He was already a very dear friend in pure love of Krishna. But Krishna is speaking the words of Gita. And the Gita is the absolute truth. But so that people in the future will not think that this Gita is just spoken by a great person, Arjuna wanted Krishna to show one of his very, actually insignificant and subordinate opulences, the universal form. Hare Krishna. The all-powerful form of time consuming everything and everyone within this entire creation. Similarly, Advaitacharya, one day at the house of Srivas Thakur, he was in the mood of a gopi in separation from Krishna. He was rolling on the ground, crying, 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 as devotees were having kirtan. And devotees tried to pacify Advaitacharya in so many ways. So he was sitting somewhat in a sober mood. So the devotees were thinking, now let us go take bath in Ganga. All the devotees left the kirtan hall and went to the Ganges to take bath. But at that time, Advaitacharya, again feeling intense separation from the Lord, began to roll on the ground in ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya is in the heart of every devotee. He knew what was happening. So he immediately went to Srivas's house. And he asked Advaita, you know, how can I serve you? And Advaitacharya said, please give me this benediction. I want to see that same form that Arjuna saw long ago in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So they went into the temple room, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the universal form to Advaita Acharya. Unlimited heads, unlimited arms, unlimited legs. There was no beginning, there was no end to this form. Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy, just chanting and dancing in great reverence, seeing this form. At that time, Nityananda Prabhu, he understood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing the Virat Rupa to Advaita. I want to see this. So he came immediately to the house and walked in. And they were with folded hands looking upon this unlimited manifestation of the Lord's opulences. So when we read about Lord Chaitanya as a little baby crying and making the neighborhood ladies chant, otherwise he would not stop crying, we should understand that this universal form, this unlimited manifestation of opulence, is but an insignificant subordinate aspect of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different than Krishna himself. If Krishna wants to protect you, nothing can harm you. And if Krishna wants to destroy you, nothing and no one can protect you, because Krishna is supreme. So we want to put our faith in Krishna. We want to make our shelter Krishna. Because when we make Krishna our shelter, there's nothing to fear. Vajahuremana srinanda nandana abhayacharanaravindare. Govinda Das prays, my dear mind, you are so restless, going here, there, everywhere else, trying to find satisfaction, trying to find security, trying to find relief from inner frustration, outer frustration. The mind is always scanning material nature in various ways, trying to find some object to find some relief or pleasure in. But Govinda Das is praying, my dear mind, just keep yourself fixed in the worship of Sri Nandanandana, Krishna. Because only in that, in the lotus feet of Krishna, will you find that state beyond fear. Abhaya charanarabhinda. We were describing this morning something about the solar eclipse that took place at 12:35 today. You saw how everything became very dark at the lightest time of the day. And according to astrologers, at the present time, as we are sitting here, it is one of the most inauspicious alignments of different planets in our modern history. The most incredibly inauspicious alignment of planets, that people are speculating what kind of catastrophes could possibly happen. And this alignment will continue for some time. It was established during the eclipse. Very well. People are prophesizing there can be massive floods or major parts of the earth go under the oceans. There could be massive earthquakes, millions dead, and so much
property destroyed, due to this inauspicious alignment of planets, man's different people's karmic minds become so much disturbed individually and collectively, there can be all kinds of madness and craziness and crime and massive wars, disease, plagues, epidemics. How do you all? This is what people are talking about all over the world, not just in Germany or in America or in India. Everyone is talking about this who knows about these types of sciences, astronomical sciences, astrological sciences, earth-changing sciences. So here we are in Radha Madan Mohan Temple, Abenthor, Germany. Seems to be a nice evening. The eclipse came and went. We're still alive. We just had a nice feast of prasad, and things seem very nice. But what the next moment is to bring, we do not know. But one thing we do know is whatever apparently powerful changes may manifest within this universe, in relation to reality, it is irrelevant and insignificant, because the soul is eternal. The soul's origin is the spiritual realm. And everything's going to change this way or that way, whether it changes auspicious or inauspiciously. In Brahma Loka, there may not be solar eclipses that bring about inauspiciousness. In Brahma Loka, there's no earthquakes or floods. There's no wars. Everything is very, very peaceful and blissful materially. But when your karma runs out, you fall down from that place. So it's a place of misery. So whether things are auspicious or inauspicious materially is not very important. All these planetary matters, they're all just material calculations of auspicious and inauspicious. Devotee understands that this all-opulent, supreme, unlimited Krishna, he is my shelter. And when we find shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, then what in this world can disturb us? This world itself is insignificant. The Lord said this entire universe, from his point of view, it's hardly even one little tiny mustard seed in a massive barrel of mustard seeds. And this one little tiny planet in this universe, we're taking things so seriously. Why? You take something very seriously that's small, in the absence of our connection to what's great. It's like Srila Prabhupada explains, if you have $2 and you have a bill that's $1.50, that's a big problem for you, is it not? That's almost everything you have. But if you have $100 million, does that $1.50 taking it all seriously? Similarly, because we are so spiritually poor, bankrupt, every little thing disturbs us so much. But when we have Krishna, when we have the real wealth of Krishna, even that little tiny spark, or not spark, speck of a drop from the ocean of Krishna, if we can even get that much understanding of Him within our heart, then we become transcendental to this entire creation. That is our nature. That is what Srila Prabhupada is begging us to take from Him. Krishna. So yes, we're living in times where many people are saying many things. But one thing we know for sure, it's a time of great uncertainty. We don't know what the newspapers will bring from one day to the next. But one thing we know is that the Srimad Bhagavatam is every morning giving us that connection to Krishna that can make us eternally self-satisfied and fearless. As His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj was explaining so nicely last night, that we must have this faith, because without faith we cannot continue. Without faith we cannot put our heart into our bhakti. And to the degree we put our heart in our bhakti, to that degree we attract Krishna. We transcend the limits of the miserable conditions of life, of this material world. So faith is very important. So it is not so important to be well informed about everything that's happening everywhere in this relative world. What's important is that we're well informed about the highest truth, the reality. Within any spiritual society, and obviously within our society, there has been mistakes, and devotees who have made mistakes, and we know some of them, all of us. So how much do we have to talk about how this person made a mistake there, and that person made a mistake here, and this person made a mistake then, and that person made a mistake then? We understand certain lessons that we have to learn for precaution from these things. But other than that, how does it help us? How does this gossip help us? We know enough that we need to know just to be safe. And beyond that, we want to put our minds in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the eternal reality is being revealed to us. That which is going to build our faith in Krishna. No matter what happens, Krishna is still the Lord. He's still playing His flute. He's still calling us back to Godhead. He's still fully manifesting Himself in His name. So we want to go back to Krishna. We want to become real, real spiritual people with genuine spiritual qualities so that we can attract Krishna's mercy. And to do that, we have to overcome so many obstacles in this material existence. And in order to keep going, we must have faith. This faith is so sacred. It is so precious. Yesterday, Satchinanda Maharaj had taken me on the beautiful walk in the forest behind Radha Madan Mohan Temple here in Abendur, Germany. And very beautiful trees. Sometimes if you live in a place, you do not appreciate the rare fortune you have. But in most parts of the world, you hardly see big trees because greedy people just cut them down because you can make lots of money from wood. And in forests these days, mostly it's just the little trees. And we were seeing hundreds of big, big ancient trees, hundreds and hundreds of years old. For these pine trees, oak trees, whatever names of trees you have, these trees, many of them, 400, 500, 600, 700 years old. But do you know how long it takes to cut one down? When people were using axes, it would maybe take about an hour to cut a tree down like this. But now we have advanced technology. We have these chainsaws. A 300-year-old tree. It's taken 300 years to grow a tree like this. You can cut it down in a minute. And once it's cut down, it's gone forever. It's really to have these very old, ancient, large trees in your property is an opulence money cannot buy. For $1 million, you can't get a tree planted that big on your property. You can plant it, and you have to wait 300-400 years till it gets like that. Even if you're the wealthiest man in the world. So this is very great opulence. But there's also a great lesson when we see how much time, how much nourishment in these trees. They grow very gradually, gradually. In the same way, year after year after year, we're pouring water on this tender creature of bhakti, and it's growing, growing, growing. And what's taken us so many years to develop, maybe even lifetimes, it could be cut down in minutes. So we have to be very protective, very attentive. And our growth is dependent on that faith. So we should put our concentration and our energy where our faith will grow. People who want all the facts and figures and information of all the histories of problems, mistakes, scandals, from the point of view of being a sensationalistic news journalist, that might be very valuable. But from the point of view of wanting to make spiritual advancement, it makes it impossible. Therefore, whatever, we don't have to hear about all these things. We don't have to know about them. We know what we need to know. But we want to put our concentration, our energy and attention on that subject matter that will increase our faith that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, that we are His eternal servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would hear Srimad Bhagavatam, there would be no limit to how much he wanted to continue to hear. In the a place called Varaha Nagar. Mahaprabhu was returning from one of his attempted journeys to Vrindavan, and he came to that place, and there was one man reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard him. He was in ecstasy hearing Bhagavatam. He just said, "Go on reciting, go on reciting." And seeing the enthusiasm that Lord Chaitanya was listening, this man naturally started reciting with greater enthusiasm. Lord Chaitanya was saying, "Go on reciting, go on reciting." As this man was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya was dancing in ecstasy. Have you ever seen such a thing? We know when there's kirtans and mridangas and kartals, the Lord danced in ecstasy. But here a man was just sitting and reciting Bhagavatam just by hearing. This is how the Lord taught us. Now we know at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there was probably a lot of scandals and a lot of people who were doing crazy things in different places. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would just very quickly, "This is nonsense, not like that." But where would he put his attention? Kirtan, Harikatha, positive services. He was teaching by his example. This is a hard world. Everything in this world, by the nature of Maya's arrangement, is to destroy your propensity for humility and service. This whole material nature has been programmed in such a way to take your consciousness away from Krishna and fix your consciousness on an exploitative mentality of trying to enjoy. And when we take to the path of devotional service, all those obstacles, the whole current of material existence is opposing us. How to overcome it? We need spiritual strength. We need faith. We need nourishment. And within a spiritual society, amongst devotees, who are our only shelter, where else are we going to get this faith? Where else are we going to get this strength? Except amongst the devotees. The advanced devotees, they can inspire us with great enthusiasm and strength. But the people who are along with us, who are struggling with us, we urgently need each other to sustain and keep each other fixed on this path. But when within the devotees association, when there's so much talk and so much gossip, whether it's true or not really doesn't make that much difference. Even if something's true, if it makes you spiritually weak, is it very valuable? So yes, there are people who want to just make everybody well informed about everything and anything that anyone has ever done in the last 30 years in the Hare Krishna movement. And we understand there has been, maybe, yes. But all we have to know is a few words that, yes, this is just because we have to know that we're on the right track. That we have to know. But once we know we're on the right track, the right track means hearing from Guru Parampara. And we don't care about all these other topics. We want to hear the narrations. Prabhupada gave us Krishna book. He didn't give us these different websites explaining all the different criticisms of different people. He gave us Krishna book. He gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gave us nectar of devotion. He gave us nectar of instruction. He told us the glories of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. He's given us these Vaishnava literatures. He's given us the unlimited opulences of Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was writing a Vaishnava newspaper once a day. At one time, and somebody was very much shocked, how can you get enough information to write this Gaudiya Vaishnava newspaper every day? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this material, this particular universe we're in, is like a little mustard seed in a massive, massive ocean of mustard seeds of other universes in this world. This universe is insignificant, and this earth planet is just an insignificant speck in this universe. And any city in this universe is just an insignificant speck. And practically any major city has 3, 4, 5 daily newspapers. Yes? In Bombay, they have so many daily newspapers. Some come out in the morning, some come out in the afternoon, some come out in the evening. They have morning edition, mid-noon, mid-afternoon edition, and evening editions. 3 times a day. Look at all this news. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in the spiritual world, which is unlimitedly bigger than this material world, where the Lord's pastimes are unlimited, he said, we could put out thousands and thousands of newspapers every second and never exhaust the divine leelas that the Lord is manifesting in that time. So we're given all this information. Any one syllable of any word of the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you understand it, you'll be liberated from material life and attain Krishna. And how many? 18,000 slokas. You've been given an ocean of nectar. And this ocean of nectar will encourage, enhance, and deepen our faith, our conviction, our devotion. It will give us the strength to surpass all the obstacles of material life. So why should we turn our attention to these mundane topics, mundane affairs? Sometimes we think, it may be a mundane affair, but it's about a devotee. So therefore it's worthy of hearing. The question is, will it inspire my faith? Will it increase the quality of my chanting? Will it increase my confidence in the mercy of Krishna? Will it increase my respect and affection for Vaishnavas? We should accept whatever is favorable for that, and we should reject what is unfavorable for that. We hear what has to be heard if something is like that. But other than that, all right, it's done. Now let's discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's discuss how to spread the glories of devotional service. Let us encourage and enlighten and illuminate each other's faith and devotion. This is very important. So this beautiful verse we're reading today, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. If within our life we can just continue trying to understand that one little speck of a part of that one little drop from the unlimited ocean of Krishna's attractive features, that will be the ultimate perfection of life. That little speck of the drop from that unlimited ocean is so nectarine that it will saturate our hearts with such bliss that all the pleasures of this world become insignificant and irrelevant. So this is what we are being given. Let us put our life and our concentration, our hope and our shelter in Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes.
And Maharaj, you explained that we should select the topics we deal with in terms of how much they increase our faith in the flows of Krishna consciousness and enhance our chanting. So there are many devotees, especially those who are personally or indirectly afflicted by these shortcomings of our society, and they say, unless we really deal with these shortcomings and clear and speak about them and find solutions, we really cannot enhance our faith, because this is what takes away our faith from society. So they say we should deal with these seeming mundane topics of gossip, because only then our faith can be really established, because it's broken by these things.
Very interesting. I find, even amongst the GPCs, who are actually supposed to be trying to do something about it, most devotees, I mean, what are you going to do about it, even if you talk about it? How are you going to change the world by talking about it? But even when we talk about it, there's a time and place, because we have to deal with certain situations, if that's actually your responsibility. But usually the root cause of the problem itself is a lack of Krishna consciousness. If devotees really put their attention on very good, strong sadhana, on very, very developing, very humble qualities, not to be master, but to be servant of the servant of the servant. If devotees are very, very cautious and careful not to offend devotees directly or indirectly, whether it's right or wrong, if devotees really, really put their concentration on the chanting of Hare Krishna and the hearing of and reading of Srila Prabhupada's books and Krishna's glories, there probably wouldn't be many problems to talk about. Do you agree? There you go. So we're talking about the problems, but we're not talking about the real solution. The real solution is to be Krishna conscious. To be Krishna conscious, you need faith in the process. And talking about all this other so-called news doesn't help us to become Krishna conscious, doesn't give us faith in the process, doesn't give us a taste for chanting the holy name, doesn't give amanina manadena, a sense of respecting all living beings and expecting no respect for oneself. Does it? What it is problem, due to a lack of this, and in the name of solving the problem, we're just perpetuating more and more the lack of that. Prahlad Maharaj explained, material solutions to the problems in this world create a problem worse than the original problem. Do you remember that sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam? Spoken by Prahlad. that all material solutions to the problems of this world create a bigger problem than the original problem. Hare Krishna. So if we're trying to make material solutions to the problems within our society, they're going to create a bigger problem than the original problem. That's why the problems keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We have to take shelter of Bhagavatam. We have to stop offending devotees, whether they've done something or not done something. Krishna knows we can't offend them. We follow who's following carefully, and the others we offer respect, said Ibo, from a distance. But we march forward on the path. We want a taste for hearing the glories of the Lord, a taste for chanting the holy name. And we want to serve with humility and enthusiasm. People cannot serve with enthusiasm if their faith is being bewildered by all kinds of topics going on here and there. Does that make sense to you?
Not completely. One sentence, yes, but not completely, because I have my doubt if we can separate this spiritual resolutions and material resolutions. Chochinandana Maharaj gave a very interesting quote of Prabhupada last week. Prabhupada said, the whole purpose of our Krishna conscious society is to create favorable circumstances for the chanting of the holy name. Mm-hmm. So this quote indicates that we also have to have material arrangements for the spiritual.
Yes, but what is that material arrangement? To facilitate the encouragement of people to take shelter of the holy name with faith. That's exactly what we're talking about. Gossip, criticism does not do that. It destroys that. It destroys that. We can identify the problem, but we don't just keep on talking about the details of the problem day after day, month after month, year after year. We identify the problem and then we talk about the solution.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
What is the solution? Is it hacking a man to death because he's made a problem and putting it on internet all over the world, every detail of any scandal a person's ever done? People's souls are vomiting in disgust with all of this nonsense being spoken. No, this person, put him aside. Now let's go on. Pray for him and chant Hare Krishna, hear Bhagavatam, preach, and do positive devotional service. And let's inspire each other to do that. That is a spiritual society. That's what we need. Huh?
So not ignoring the things, but also not indulging.
No, we don't ignore. But we don't put our attention on it too much. We put our attention on the real solution, which is Krishna, Trinadapi Sunichena. The real solution is hearing, chanting, serving together, enthusing one another. Why do you think Prabhupada traveled around the world 13 times? Just to enthuse us. And what did he talk about? There were so many problems in the world, even when Prabhupada was there. There were devotees falling down at that time too. There were scandals at that time too. There was misappropriation of funds at that time too. And Prabhupada would deal with it. But when he comes to the temples, did he talk about that? He would deal with it according to how it needed to be done. But when he'd be giving lectures, he would be speaking Bhagavatam. When he'd be giving darshan, he'd be speaking Bhagavad Katha. Huh? He would be encouraged. He would warn devotees. But that was not the subject. He dealt with it according to the necessity of dealing with a particular subject and nothing more. Okay, here's the lesson, learn from that lesson, and then he'd get right back to the philosophy. Let him go. So that's how he dealt with it. That's how we should deal with it. We have to cultivate faith in each other's hearts. Otherwise, we don't want a solution, the so-called solution, to make a bigger, bigger problem. If there's problems because of certain discrepancy, if due to that we just keep cultivating a greater and greater and greater lack of faith in people, then what kind of massive problems are going to come out of that? Huh? We want to cultivate faith in the unlimited opulences of Krishna and in the process of devotional service. And that is our heart and soul. If we don't have that faith, Maya is going to crush us. We need that faith. We need to go and find that faith. We don't have to go outside of these walls. We have to go right into what Prabhupada has given us right here. Where do you go? Just like this eclipse was very inauspicious. So when the eclipse was going on today, we could have just sat here and talked about all the different terrible things that happened to devotees' lives. Right? Because they're also inauspicious. But what did we do? We know the eclipse is inauspicious. We know it's inauspicious. We don't have to talk about it all day. We know it's inauspicious. So we closed the windows and we chanted Hare Kirtan. Pretty well. Okay, we know this is wrong, so this is what we do. We do the right thing. That's how we should deal with the problems. We recognize. We don't ignore the eclipse. We don't go looking saying, it's there. The eclipse is there. It's inauspicious. We can't get near it. We close the windows. What do we do? We don't just sit here and talk about eclipses. We chant Hare Nam. And we were blissful. And there was great faith. At the most inauspicious time, astrologically, in practically 100 years, we were all in bliss. Why? Not because we were talking about the eclipse, because we were talking about Krishna. We were chanting the name of Krishna. That's how we have to deal with our problems. We identify it. We understand how to deal with it. How to deal with it? By positive Krishna consciousness. Not by just talking. Is that very important? Anyways, this is my observation and my evaluation of a very important issue. Very well. So it's getting late, and I have to leave at 4:30 tomorrow morning. So this will perhaps be my last chance to thank all of you very much for your very kind hospitality to me. It was, as always, a very, very inspiring visit for me to come to your very auspicious temple. Such nice, sincere devotees. It's a great encouragement to them, sincerely. And I pray that Sri Radha Madan Mohan and Srila Prabhupada and all of our guardian Vaishnava Acharyas may always protect you and inspire you on the path of pure devotional service. And I pray to all of you to kindly continue to be merciful upon this very small and unqualified servant. If nice Vaishnavas like you bless me, then some hope is there to give me courage to carry on. Thank you very much.
When you come back.
Hare Krishna. I hope to come soon. Thank you. Vishwadev Prabhu, thank you for everything. It's like he's a very fatherly figure. I feel like a little child when I come before him. Hari Om. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.